Thank you, Stacy. That was a beautiful number. I'd like to bring you up to date on a couple of things. One is you that are in the auditorium Sunday school class. Every Sunday morning you're tortured by sausage or something frying downstairs. Just want to let you know what's going on down there. Had a high attendance this morning down there of 30. Went through 17 dozen eggs, 42 pounds of sausage. Well, evangelistically speaking. But now we had the high day of 30. Had an activity last night out at Kristen's house. We went out and tracked grass in her house. Blew up plastic bottles in her yard. Had a little bonfire, hot, weenie roast, s'more roast, and then roasted s'more when those were gone. And had a movie afterwards. Had 32 last night. And that was besides Ben Waters had his open house, and he had some folks out at his house, too. So college and career class is going great guns. God's doing something. Last week, let's see, was it three or four young people that we've been praying for to get jobs, got jobs. So that is fabulous. That is wonderful. Are you Friday night? We're still doing good. And let me just take a moment to thank you. If you're ones that are bringing food on Friday night, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You have no idea what a blessing that is. After we get through 9:15 at night, go in and sit down and fellowship for just a while longer, for another hour or so, eating. And that is such a blessing. That means so much to us. And really, that is just a blessing. You have no idea what that means to us. Let's see. We embarrassed Joe and Laura in Sunday school class this morning. And I don't want to embarrass them again in morning service, so I won't mention the fact that they're engaged now. So everybody, all the ladies downstairs in the Sunday school class had to look at her ring. So ladies, I won't mention that to you. See, she's on this side. It's a long way to the door. So anyway, don't say anything on the way out. We don't want to embarrass them. But congratulations. And we're proud of them. That is fantastic. Brother Stewart said there's a lady's earring that's back in the back. So if you've lost a lady's earring, I have no idea what it looks like. So if you've lost one, talk to Brother Stewart. That'll be a blessing. Let's see. In Korea's, this is their last Sunday with us. They're leaving Tuesday, was it 1 o'clock? And going to Ireland, it's our loss, but it's their gain. And they're going to do a great work in Ireland. We're so proud of you. It's been a long, long struggle, but we're proud of you. And that is fantastic. That is fantastic. And Jessica and Darren are still in Guyana. And if you're on Facebook, watch Darren's blog. Lots of good things are going on over there. Ever get the feeling this is a busy church? This is a busy church, without a doubt. Please pray for Rana Hintz. Tuesday, surgery scheduled at 1 o'clock. Excuse me, 1:30. 1:30 on Tuesday. Pray for her. Pray for Ed Tedder. Also, he's going to be getting a gel shot tomorrow morning. His arthritis is I can't imagine. He left Friday night in tears, literally. So pray for him. That shot will be effective. He goes up to Ann Arbor tomorrow. If you'd be praying for him, that would be fantastic. And then pray for also Mrs. Bailey, has a doctor's appointment this week. If you'd be praying for her, I know they'd appreciate it. But be praying. We just got a lot of things going on. Again, if you don't have one of these, grab 34, 35 of them on your way out, and hand them out as you go. The Bible school can be as big as God wants it to be. And I'll tell you, I don't know how big God wants it, but you can easily put 300 kids in here. So it must be, I think he wants it bigger, because it'll hold more. So and be praying for the folks that are setting it up. Dara and Misty were over in the gym Friday night till probably pushing 9 o'clock. It was the last time I looked out there and saw Misty running around outside. I think Dara locked her out, but be praying for them and all the ones that are putting together those huge pieces of cardboard and painting them and coloring them. And whoops, I shouldn't say that probably. They're working on it for something. I'm not. Anyway, but pray for all the decorations that are going to be going up for Bible school, and boy, that'll be fantastic. That's going to be a fantastic week. By the way, the next 3 weeks are going to be really, really hectic around here. So when you feel like you can't take anymore, tie a rope and hang on. Or as somebody once said, tie a rope, tie a knot, and I won't say what they said, but. Anyway, glad you're here this morning. Glad you're here this morning. This morning is going to be just a little bit of this month's theme of discipleship, but decided tail end of the week. God changed my Sunday school lesson, middle of the week, and God changed my message too. Going to be a little bit, I was aiming for more discipleship and a little bit of RU. I think it's going to come out a little bit of discipleship and a little bit more RU, but past several, oh boy, back even, I guess even into first part of April, been spending a whole lot of time in Hebrews chapter 12 and just reading different blogs and different devotions and different things about Hebrews chapter 12 and chastening of the Lord and that type of thing. But I want to focus this morning just on one little phrase. Well, I guess two really. It's between two sets of commas in there. In Hebrews chapter 12, about in the middle of the verse, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." I simply want to look at that phrase this morning, and I just want to talk to you on the subject, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Father, thank you, God, just for the privilege of this day. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for what you want to accomplish in our midst today. And Father, please use me in a special way that, God, your message would come forth clear and with power, and that, God, you'd do something special. Father, we need you. But God, more than that, I want you. Scott, if I don't have you this morning, we might as well go home. So Father, please use us. Go pew to pew today, please. Please, and do something in our hearts. Make us different. And God, change us for being here this day. And God, we love you, and we sure want to see what you've got for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I get going, I also wanted to mention, I missed my one note. Please come back tonight. Please come back tonight, hear the tour group. Dr. Cowling, Mrs. Cowling is going to be here. I believe that's the ones. Is it Dr. Cowling? Just in case, I think it is. That's what my daughter told me anyway, because that group, I think, was the one that was, if I'm wrong, okay, I'll stay home tonight. I think it's Dr. Cowling, because my daughter up in Wisconsin, that group was at their church, and they said they had a time. And I was thinking back, 1996, 1997, my daughter Sandra got to tour with Dr. Cowling, and they went west. And now I know where Dr. Cowling got all his gray hair, because some of the things, you know, it's terrible when your kids get older and start telling you the stuff they did that you didn't know about. And you're wondering, you did what? But Dr. Cowling, Dr. Cowling, you just got to hear him. I hope he's here tonight. If he's not, whoever's going to be with him will do a great job too. But anyway, where were we? Hebrews chapter 12. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. The verse says every weight, that's plural. Every sin, the singular. If you stop and think about a lot of folks, you're usually going to find that all those folks are decent people. But everybody's got a weakness. By the way, every one of us has a weakness. Every one of us has a stronghold. Every one of us has something in our life that if we don't watch it, it's going to grab us. It's going to grab us by the throat and choke us to death. And if we don't keep it under wraps. Now, some folks will say, oh, I don't have anything like that. Well, no, then you have two. But everybody has something. It's that in this verse, Paul's saying it, that besetting sin, a sin, that weight that doth so easily beset us. The word beset simply means this. It means to surround, to encircle, to entangle, to hem in, to render escape difficult, if not impossible, to achieve. And many times it's just that one thing that causes the problem. It may be more than one, but usually there's just that one thing. It's just something that will open the floodgate maybe to some other things, but there's generally just that one thing, that one besetting sin. And by the way, victory is possible. Victory is very, very, very much possible. You can't have victory over it. Paul said in this, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the fight. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul said, I finished the course. I finished that race that God has chartered for me, that he set out for me, for specifically me. Now, every one of us, we have a race that God wants every one of us individually to run. Now, there may be some parts of that race, there's going to be others on that course, but there's going to be parts of it, we're going to be a lone ranger. We're the only one that's going to be there. And if we don't look at that besetting sin, that weight, and if we don't lay that aside, by the way, it's possible, it can be. And because there is a race to run, let us lay aside that weight and the sin. That sin that doth so easily beset us. Again, beset means encircled, enclosed, surrounded. A lot of sins, they'll just come at us and they'll hit us right head on. We'll see them coming. And you can know they're coming and you can just see it. You can see it in the distance, getting closer and closer. But this besetting sin, you can just watch it. It's kind of like the covered wagons. They'll circle and you can see all the got to be politically correct. The enemy is circling the wagon train. And you can just see them and they're getting closer and closer and closer. And that one besetting sin, that weight, if you let it, it'll encircle you. It'll hem you in. It'll surround you. And it will make you think that it's impossible. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't win. I can't get victory over it. But you can. But you can. Paul said, lay it aside. Take that besetting sin. He said, lay it aside. That means you take it off. Take that sin. You lay it aside. Take that besetting sin. You put it away. Be in control of it and lay it aside. So many church problems, so many family problems are simply caused by good people, fantastic people, that let that one besetting sin, that one weight that we don't do anything about. We say, well, it's just a little thing, and I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. You know, big stuff is nothing more than small stuff that's been magnified, that you don't handle. You start with just a little drop. Pretty soon, you got gallons of water. It's one that constantly encircles. It just won't let go. It's just always there. So many divorces are caused by decent, good folks that just have that besetting sin that they just never got past it, never got over it, never got a handle on it. They never figured out a way to lay it aside. Sometimes somebody will say, "Well, I've just got a temper." You got to learn to lay it aside. Lay it aside. Paul said, "Lay aside that sin that's doth so easily beset us." It means take it off. It means cast it aside. It means get control of it. What is it? As I mentioned, everybody's got that one sin, that one weight, something that's just always there. What is it? What is it in your life? What is it in your mind? What is it that if you go, you let it go, you can just see the dust out in the distance as the enemy starts to surround and then works its way in, gets closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. What is it that just can't seem to shake? Our churches are full of people that have left, that had their lives weak, wrecked, and ruined simply because of that one besetting sin. Families are the same way. Jails are that same way. They're full of folks that have had their lives wrecked and influenced just because of one besetting sin. Hey, cemeteries are full of folks that have had their lives ruined and wrecked because that one besetting sin never learned how to get a handle on it. Excuse me. I just got a handle on it. But there's several areas this morning I want to give you, 17 of them. No, not 17. There's some areas I want to give you. And in this way, it might be one of these that's causing you a problem. Number one, look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 21. Mark chapter 10, verse number 21, a very famous verse. I want to pull out of that verse just a few words, four words, in fact, to be exact. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." Jesus told the rich young ruler, "One thing thou lackest, one thing thou lackest." That besetting sin, that weight, might be something that you do, or something that you lack, something that you do, something that you lack in your life. Hey, it's time to shore up those weak spots and reinforce those weak areas to prevent that besetting sin from raising up its ugly head and biting you. But by the way, eventually it's going to. Eventually it's going to. It may just be something that you lack in your life. Hey, is it lack of prayer time? Is it lack of Bible time? Is it faithfulness to church that's lacking? Is it lack of soul winning? Is it lack of giving? Is it dishonesty? Is it a matter of disobedience? What is it? What is it? What's that one thing? Is it a lack of memorizing Bible time? Is it lack of meditation time? Which, by the way, let me remind you again, God does not promise prosperity and success to a Bible memorizer. God promises prosperity and success to a Bible meditator. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." First, in Psalm chapter 1, which, by the way, you come to RU on Friday night, first thing we'll do, we'll watch a video, a preaching video, to 8 or 10 or 12 minutes. Then right off the bat, we're going to all stand up together in unison and recite Psalm chapter 1, all the verses of it. Psalm 1:2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate," excuse me, "day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." It says he'll meditate day and night. Listen, God knows we're going to have a hard time thinking. God knows that our mind up here is feeble. God knows that we've got a little pea brain mind. God knows that. And he knows we're going to have trouble. And that's why he tells us in Philippians 4:8. He tells us what to think on. He says, "Think on these things that are true, that are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report." He says, if there be any praise, think on these things. He knows we're going to have trouble. He knows that's going to be a tough thing. But whatever it is in our life that we lack, shore it up, reinforce it so that it will hold in time of attack. By the way, you know what I'm talking about this morning. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. We've all said, "Oh, I can handle it. I can do it. I don't need to do that. I don't need to go there. I can handle this by myself." Yeah, right. You've been there. It will come back and haunt you in a time of weakness, and it'll ruin your life. It's going to take your joy. It's going to destroy your marriage. It's going to destroy your kids. It's going to destroy your family, and it's going to take everything that we hold dear and love. Why? Because we did not reinforce those things when we should have. Now it's too late. I won't say it's too late, but it's very late, and it's messed up our life big time. Find that besetting sin, shore it up, and let that former weakness become one of your strengths. Let that be a strength in your life. That verse, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That can be true in your life as well. Hey, what's that besetting sin? What's that weight in your life this morning? It might be something that you lack. It might be something that you're missing in your life. It might be something that there's things in your mind you've been watching and listening to that you shouldn't have been listening to, shouldn't have been watching. We got a poster, an RU poster. In fact, I got one over in the classroom. Here's yo daddy staring at the computer, and the caption on top says, "What you watching, daddy?" Is it something in our mind that we're lacking, something in our life? Is it listening to the wrong music, reading the wrong things? Are we getting close to somebody that we ought not be close to that's negative? And you know what it is. There's certain folks that you can be with, and I won't tell you the guy's name, but I worked for him with UPS, and his truck was loaded right next to mine. I learned after about the 20th time, I never said, "Hey, how you doing this morning?" Never said that again. Because he'd proceed to take the next 25 or 30 minutes and tell me what a rotten day it was, how bad a day he's going to have, how stupid the supervisor was, how bad a job the loader did. And I got tired of hearing all that negative stuff. So when I saw him coming, I got in my truck. I just threw everything in my truck real quick, slammed the door, took off, and went outside and went someplace and sorted someplace else. I says, I can't be around that kind of nonsense. You let that besetting sin run unchecked, and it is going to raise up its ugly head, and it's going to destroy your life. Listen, it does make a difference who you run with. It does make a difference what influence you're in. It does make a difference who you listen to. It makes a difference. I can tell you that for sure. Friday nights, boy, the folks we talk to, folks we go down to Stryker, down to CCNO, which, by the way, Brother Hobson and Brother Hawkins are down there right now, probably just preparing, leaving McDonald's, getting ready to go in. But they're going to be in there at about 10 after 12. I can't tell you the number of times folks have come up and said, "Boy, would you pray for me? I got in the wrong crowd. Would you pray for me? I'm in the wrong crowd right now." Well, you've got these folks in the cell. These guys are good guys. Some of these guys, they'll pray with you. And some of them actually turned around and said, "Yeah, you see those three guys back there sitting at the table? We all hate them. We can't be around them." It does make a difference. It does make a difference. Worst part about it, so many times we see it coming and we don't do anything about it. Last Thursday, I went downstairs to my office, I guess early in the morning, and found out I got some malware on my computer. When I clicked on Google Chrome, Google did not come up in the window. What came up was search.startnow.com. And I thought, wow, that's different. That shouldn't be that way. So I clicked it down, erased it, went back, clicked it again. Same thing came up. So I thought, I don't like this. I went upstairs, and when I got on the laptop upstairs and went on and looked and found out, aha, starts.searchnow.com is malware. Where'd that come from? So I went downstairs, ran my malware bytes, malware program, let it run for, I don't know, pretty near an hour. It came up clean, nothing there. And I said, oh, okay, must be good. So I clicked on it again, search.startnow.com. Ah, this is not good. Called Brother Tim, I don't know what to do. And he said, try this. That didn't work. Try this. That didn't work. Should have worked. Because I went to all the places. It had rerouted. It had taken off my default settings. Google Chrome was not it. Guess what it was? Search.startnow.com. Changed that. Put it all back. Gave me three or four things. Tried those things. Didn't work. And he said, here, try this product. So I went and looked it up, downloaded it. It's supposed to be compatible with everything. So I downloaded it. And got it on there, and boy, and it started running, and I thought, man, this is good. First six things that came up for malware, search.startnow.com, boop, 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 boop. And I thought, man, this is good. Also kicked out 109 other things. And I thought, this is not good. So, and then when it got to the end, it said, hey, what should I do with these? Do you want to erase them? I want to erase them. I want to get rid of them, delete them. So I clicked that button, and it took me to the financial page. $39.98, and you can download this, you can have it, and we'll get rid of it. And I thought, yes, you're right, I did. Put that on there, got rid of it, and actually, it's a little faster now. It's working nice. And now I have a brand new theme song. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my malware is gone. And it worked great. In fact, I put it on my wife's computer, and I won't tell you how much malware was on that little thing. And I thought, I don't need this malware program on here earlier. There was one on there. I took it off. Said, I don't need it. I don't need it. There's nothing out there. It's not going to hurt me. And even if it does come on, I can handle it. It's not going to hurt it. But it did. It was one of those things I found later on that it has the ability to start tracking and sending information out, including passwords. Is basically what it said was it's the basic step one of identity theft. And I thought, this is not good. So it cost me $39.98 to get rid of it, but I found some other things and got those out of there, and that was good. And that was the beginning of where this message came from. Reformers Unanimous on Friday night, we have 10 principles that pretty much are in the curriculum is built around. Principle number 3 simply says this: it is easier to keep the heart clean than to clean it after it has been defiled. Boy, if I'd only put that protection on there first and kept it clean, I would not have had to gone back and put something else on and try to get it off. And now wonder, did I get it? Wait a minute. It's easier to keep our heart clean than it is to clean it once it's been defiled. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean. It is so much easier day by day to keep your heart clean than it is to go back and, oh boy, I've got this problem, and then try to remove it. Now, it can be done, but most of us don't want to put the work into it. Listen, you get in the Bible and really ask God to search your heart, and you will be amazed at what God will show you in addition to what you might already be looking for. I said, number 1, one thing thou lackest. Number 2, one thing befalleth thee. One thing befalleth thee. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 19. The Bible says, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. That verse simply says this. It says, one thing befalleth him. One thing befalleth thee. Something usually happens, and you're not planning it, but it just comes out of the blue. All of a sudden, it's there. It's there. That one thing that pulls you down. That one thing that makes you a little bit depressed. That one thing that makes you unproductive. That one thing that gets you down in the dumps just a little bit. That one thing that you just can't seem to shake, that it just makes you, oh, what's the use? It's not worth it. Why try? What is it that gets you down? What is it that you have to watch for? What is it that you have to be constantly on your guard for? Because if you let that in, boy, I'll get depressed. By the way, I'm not talking about medical condition. I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about things that like this fellow used to load my truck with. Boy, when I got back in my truck, it took me a while. I had to learn. I had to program my brain. I had to do some certain things. I had some certain steps that I had to take to get him out of my brain and get me back in package delivery mode. And by the way, whatever it is that gets you down, you better figure out what it is to get you back up on top side. You better have a remedy for it. You ought to be able to feel it coming. Listen, when you feel it coming, don't wait till it hits there. Do something about it. All right, say, listen, I'm going to do this. I've got a list I learned from Brother Hiles years ago, that when you still feel a little blue coming on, melancholy, a little bit of down in the dump stuff, stop right now and get your list out and find out what it is that's going to get you back on top side. Maybe it's a sermon. Maybe it's some music. Maybe it's going to see somebody. Maybe it's being around somebody. Maybe it's talking to somebody. Maybe it's eating something. Maybe it's getting a Pepsi and a Snickers. Boy, what pleasant memories. Whatever it is. Figure out whatever it is and do it. Don't wait till you hit rock bottom. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Listen, you know who it is that you're around that brings you down. You know what it is that you're around that brings you down. And you know where you can be that brings you down. I was at one of my nephew's weddings. It's been several years. And it was at a country club. The wedding part was fine. It was outside on the lake. Beautiful wedding. Really, really nice. The reception part was inside. Food was nice. And the music was soft and everything. And we were trying just to be be really friendly, because they mom and dad kind of felt like, well, the family doesn't care about us and all this and that. And started playing the music. And I told my wife, I says, this is not good. This is not good. And I kind of stepped out for a few minutes. I went back, got some more food, didn't know what else to do. And came back and sat down. The lights went down. And I said, man, this is not good. And then the music changed. And that played for a few minutes. And I nudged my wife and says, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And I don't know, Barry and Sarah were with us. I don't know if they were ready to leave or not, but I said, I'm going. I got to get out of here. I can't handle it. This is not good. Listen, you know what's there. You know what it is that brings you down. You know what it is that gets you away from where you ought to be. You know what gets your mind off center. You know what it is, what you listen to, what you see, what you hear. You know all those things. If you don't get victory over those things that befalleth thee, it's going to get you down, and before you know it, you're going to end up at a place that you never thought you'd ever be. What is it that befalleth thee? Better find out right now and control it before it gets here. Lay it aside. Find an antidote and have it ready. Have it right there with you. You know those folks that work with poisonous critters? When they start working with them, they got the antidotes in the closet. They got the anti-venoms in the closet. They got the whatever it is, the shots. If you start going into anaphylactic shock, they got the stuff in the closet. All they got to do is get in there and get you a shot. All those poisonous critters, they know what can be done. And the stuff's right there. Why? Because if they get bit, they know they don't have time to start and think, well, let's see, what should I do? You make provision for the flesh is going to win. You make provision for this besetting sin that befalleth you, and down you go. And I hate to say it, but different folks will go down differently, but you may go down for the count. Get that antidote ready. Say, well, even if I go down, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother anybody else. Glad you mentioned that. Are you principle number 7? Our sinful habits do hurt those that are following us. I don't care who you are in this room this morning. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention to where you are. When you're not here, somebody notices. Whatever you do, somebody's paying attention. Somebody, listen, during the song service, somebody's watching if you sing or not. During the scripture reading, somebody's watching if you read or not. During the altar call, somebody's watching if you come to the front or not. Somebody's watching all the time. They're paying attention to you. They're watching you. Our sinful habits do hurt those that are following us. They're watching. They're watching. Problem is, we don't know they're watching until it's too late. And then they come back and say, well, it's your fault because you... And the only thing you can say is, I had no idea. But they were watching. I said, one thing thou lackest, one thing befalleth thee. Number 3, one thing I desire. One thing I desire. Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. The Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. Just might be something that you desire. Might be something that you want. It might be something that you have a craving for. It might be something that's just there that you find yourself looking for. Whenever you stop, whenever you walk through the store, whenever you get a catalog, sometimes going online, just clicking here, clicking there. It might be that thing that you just desire above all else. It's just burning inside. Might be that one thing that sometime you're going to go out of your way and look for. And you spend your time and energy and finances. And the worst part is, you might get it. You just might get it. It might be that one thing that you had in the past. And boy, thought you were done with it. And found out it's back again. It might be that one thing that attacked you previously and you got victory over it, but you didn't destroy it. That one thing, you know, I've got to get rid of this. It's wrong and God wants me to get rid of this, but you didn't destroy it. What did we do? We put it in a box and put it in a closet. And lo and behold, on one of those days when we're weak and we're feeling down just a little bit, we start looking through things and say, boy, I wonder what this is. And boy, you open the box and take the lid off. And that might just as well be a stick of dynamite in there going off in your face. And there it is. And guess what? That whatever inside that box says, I'm back. One thing I desire. All God's asking us to do is to find out what it is, that besetting sin, that weight. And lay it aside. Lay it aside. Find that sin. Find that way. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Whatever that desire is, it's unholy, that's wrong, that one thing that we lack, one thing that befalleth us, one thing that we desire. Number four, be not ignorant of this one thing. Be not ignorant of this one thing. 2 Peter 3:8. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. 10 times in the New Testament, that word ignorant simply means do not know. Do not know. I don't want to know about it. What is it that we just simply don't want to know about? What is it that we don't want to know about this one thing? We're not interested in hearing about it. Because if we hear about it, then we got to do something about it. We're accountable for it. But I want to hear about it. I don't tell me about that. I don't want to know. Because once we're accountable for it, now we've got to act on it. You see, in the flesh, we like, very honestly, flesh is fun for a season. In that flesh, when we get in the flesh, we enjoy it. And we're just not interested in changing for anybody or anything. What is it that is there that we just don't want to listen to? We don't want to hear about it. We just don't want to hear it because it goes against the grain of what we think. Oh, it won't hurt me. I just want to stay hid from this one thing. Be not ignorant of this one thing. What is it that when somebody starts preaching on it, but the antenna go down and the ears go click, and in the back of our mind we're going la 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 la. What is it? You say, well, Petra's got no right preaching on that. Ain't his fault. Talk to him. It's God's fault. It's God that did it. How many times has Pastor said, this isn't in my outline? Where'd that come from? It's kind of, pastor's standing here, somebody kind of standing off to the side here, tapping him on the shoulder. All right, say this. I want you to say this. Those things that we don't want to hear about, being that we want to be ignorant of, don't be surprised when that rises up and bites us and destroys us. And don't be surprised when it raises up his stinking little head when we're down, when we're kind of depressed, we're kind of low sometime. What is it that encircles you so more than any other thing? It does more than attack. It does more than just to do a frontal head-on attack. But this thing just circles, constantly, just circles, and just circles, and you kind of feel like Custer did. Where did all this come from? And we still don't do anything about it. And next thing you know, we're down to it. We're the last one left. Now what? It's there all the time, and it just encircles, and it stays there, and it seems difficult, if not impossible, to escape. As we'd say, this besetting sin. They said, one thing thou lackest, one thing befalleth thee, one thing I desire. Be not ignorant of this one thing. Number five, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul says, this is the one thing I'm doing. In his case, he says, this is the one thing that's good. But what is it that we do that should not be done? What is it that we do that is our besetting sin, that weight that's always there, circling? It's going to pop up one of these days when we're not ready for it. You say, well, that besetting sin, that weight, that's not even out there. Oh, au contraire, it's out there. It's circling right now. It's circling right now. That old plane circling the runway, it's just waiting for the opportune time to land. Maybe it's the one thing that Paul said you shouldn't do. We're commanded to do it, but we don't. We're expected to do it, but doesn't get done. Paul said that one thing that I do. Hey, what is it that we've been putting off and just not getting done? What's that one thing we know we ought to, but it's just not getting done? What is it that God's been talking to us about and saying, boy, this needs to get done. You need to do this. This needs to get done. But we kind of say, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you know in your heart of hearts you're not saved. And God's been talking to you for week after week after week after week. And when the invitation's given, God's saying, you need to get that taken care of. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get this taken care of. Okay, now that you're saved, why aren't you getting baptized? Why aren't you getting baptized? You need to get this done. I want you to do this. And we just keep saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'll do it next week. I'll do it this time. I'll do it this time. This one thing I do. Lastly, number six, one thing I know. One thing I know. John chapter 9, verse number 25 says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You know, we as Christians, we know too much. We know too much. We want to know everything that's going on. We want to know everything about everybody. We want to know all the details. We want to know what this person's doing, that person's doing. Why isn't this one here? Where's that one gone? What they doing? We want to know the scuttlebutt about everybody. Facebook helps. Google helps. All those other things help. But way, way, way too often, all this takes us into the world. And then pretty soon, we want to know what's going on in Hollywood. And, oh, how did this movie star lose all this much weight? She lost 27 pounds in how many? Wow. Who's making this movie? And who's having this baby? And who's shacking up with who? And who just got divorced? Are you kidding? Who just got married? And who's got a bumpy belly? You can't even look on Google or any of those sites on there. I'm not personal. But some movie star, and you think, oh, isn't she cute? She's not married. And all the dirt that's there. By the way, you can't get into the world without having some dirt. And the more you know, the more it's going to affect your mind. And the more you know, the more you're accountable for. And it just might be that, you know, it just might be that we know too much, and that's what's causing our problems. If you can't solve the problem, why know about it? If you don't have the answer, why know the question? If it's not in our area of justice, why be informed about it? Why have an opinion about something if it's not in our power to solve it? One thing thou lackest, one thing befalleth thee. This one thing I desire. Be not ignorant of this one thing I know. One thing I know. Summertime. Preachers always hate end of May, first part of June. One of the most dangerous times of the year. Because schedules change. All of a sudden, we're busy. We got kids in school. We got one schedule, it seems like, in the spring. All of a sudden, now you got summertime. And we got time. All kinds of time. Instead of being in school, now we're being in work. And we got time. Time in the car, time on the computer, time here, time there. Not with this person anymore. Now we're with this person. One of the most dangerous times of the year, because we seem somehow to forget to put up our fence and we let our guard down and think, well, everybody I'm working with is just as good as the people that were in the Christian school I just came from. Dangerous time of the year. Because it's so easy to let down. It's so easy to think, well, I'm doing really, really good. And then all of a sudden you look at your screen, 109 bytes of malware! And it doesn't catch us, it doesn't bother us until all of a sudden we got a program on there that redirects us from where we should be to where it wants us to go. Then all of a sudden we're concerned about it. Which one's going to get you? Which one's going to get us this year? John 9:25 says this. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not, but one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Here in this text, the man was born blind, simply given an explanation of what just happened. Thing is, he didn't know what happened. All he knew was, I was blind, now I can see. Well, they say, what happened? I don't know what happened. I was blind, now I can see. Well, did you sin or did your parents sin? I don't know, none of us. I was blind, now I can see. Well, who took place? All I know is this guy came by named Jesus and I can see. That's all he knows. So I've never seen him before. But all I know is this one thing. I was blind. Now I see. And by the way, if you're saved this morning, you had that same experience. You were blind. But now you see. Most important day of your life. Either will be or was the day that you trusted Christ as your Savior. Today is the second Sunday of June. Last Sunday was my spiritual birthday, first Sunday of June, 1970. I trusted Christ as my Savior. Remember sitting back, it was an auditorium about the size of the first section on each side. I was sitting back there right about where Jonathan was sitting. There is sitting. Bill Foster was preaching. I have no idea what he preached on. I don't have a clue. I didn't listen. All I knew is that morning I knew I was lost. All I knew is something's got to happen. And I don't remember what he preached at, but it was just about this time, too. It's about 7 minutes to 12, just in case you're looking at your watch. 7 minutes to 12, and Brother Bill starts giving the invitation. And all I can tell you that morning is it was if there was an arm grabbed me right here and said, come on, you need to get to the altar. And all I'm doing is I remember walking out down there, coming to the altar, about halfway in the middle over here. Oh, I'd done it twice before just to get the preacher off my back. I was uncomfortable. And I thought, yeah, I'll go through the words. What do you want me to say? Oh, all I got, yeah, say that prayer? Okay, say it for me. Okay, want me to repeat it? Yeah, I'll repeat it. Did that twice. But all I know is that Sunday morning, walked down the aisle, came here, took a little bit of a right, came over here, kneeled at the altar. Just about this time, 43 years and a week ago, I got saved. And I know for sure I'm saved, no question about it. Do you? Do you know you're saved this morning? Do you know for a fact that if you're now, I'll tell you one thing right now. If I died right now, if my old heart stopped ticking, and I fall in a heap on the floor, by the time I'm laying here on the floor, and by the time Mrs. Hollins gets up here and says, by the time I'm going to be upstairs looking down, thinking, hey, I'm here, you're there. I'm going to be in heaven. When you die, where will you be? Do you know for sure you'll be in heaven? What's that weight? That sin that so doth easily beset you. Maybe God this morning is talking to you about that. You need to get victory. You say, I can do it? Yeah. That's why we read that verse in Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for me? Uh-uh. In my Bible, right across the page, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I think what we need to be doing is putting God to the test. Say, God, you said call. You said call unto me. And God, you said you'd answer. And God, you'd show me some things that I ain't got the foggiest idea what you're going to do. I want to see them. I want to see what you're going to do. How's God talking to you today? In just a few minutes, the musicians are going to come to their piano and the organ, and they're going to be playing. Brother Tim's going to come down here. It'll be at the middle. There'll be some folks across the front. When the music starts playing, if you're not sure you're saved, get up out of your seat this morning. Just come to the front. Talk to somebody that's sitting here in the front. Talk to Brother Cook and just say, I need to settle it. I need to get saved. I need to get saved today, right now. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe it's been a long time since you've come up here and just said, God, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of letting that sin beat me over the head. I'm sick of it. God, help me. You say, I don't know if God can do it or not. Is there anything too hard for God? Amen. Is there anything too hard for God?